Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. Joining me for the second time ever is Carly Cooper. Carly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Now, for the good people at home who are terrible and for whatever reason missed the other episode we did together, which is the Westworld episode, which everyone should listen to.
Carly, that one was a lot of fun.
It was absolutely wonderful. And in that episode, we explain that you and I have known each other for many, many years, that we've been through so much together.
So much. You know what? I realized just now, I've literally known you for half my life.
Oh my God. This is a whole other podcast we need to record. This is like we are blowing everyone's, my mind's blown, all the listeners, their minds are blown. They're like, What are we listening to? What are we even, is there a movie they're going to be watching? No, we're just going to be talking about this the whole
time. We're just talking about how long we've known each other. That's it.
That's amazing, though. That is really genuinely amazing. But we'll find a way to organically interweave that into this conversation, because today, this evening, it is the evening as we record this, we are going to be discussing one of your favorite movies. This is one of your favorite movies, correct?
Okay. Yes. Oh, I love this movie.
Okay, great. So it's you picked this because I have never seen it. And it is Some Like It Hot, which is directed by Billy Wilder, who I've never seen a single Billy Wilder movie. And he's like one of the greats.
Well, now you're going to, and this is a great movie.
That makes me so happy. I'm excited because I looked at the list, and I didn't realize he's directed Sunset Boulevard, which I've also not seen. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that either. That would be a good one for you to do.
Oh, we should do that. Yeah, okay. That would be great. And then Double Indemnity. I'm shocked I said that correctly.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
I haven't seen that either. And then The Apartment. I've seen that. Okay, I haven't seen any of these, but this is like, he's one of the great filmmakers of all time, and Some Like It Hot is considered in many circles to be the greatest comedy of all time. Would you agree with that?
You know, I feel like that's a hard thing to say, just because the greatest comedy of all time, you know? But I feel like that's not like such a stretch because of, it was made 1959, and you're going to see that like a lot of these jokes and stuff are still very relevant today. It holds up. It's really funny. It's great. I love this movie, but that's tough. Cause I don't know what I would say the greatest comedy of all time is.
It's hard. I feel like, how can you just force one movie into that label? And you almost do a disservice to whatever movie you say is like the best thing ever. Everyone's going to be like, oh, I didn't think it was that good.
Right.
So it's almost like automatically the movie has a disadvantage. Cause unless I think it's the funniest movie ever, it's like, you know, a disappointment. But I don't expect to be disappointed.
No, I love that. I'm so excited for you to see this movie, honestly, because I feel like you're really, really going to enjoy it, you know, what do you know about it, you know, because I don't want to give anything away.
I know next to nothing. I know Marilyn Monroe's in it. I know, I think, you know, it's funny. I know the two men go undercover as women, or they're in disguise as women because they're hiding out. And it was a big, not a huge controversy. It kind of snuck through the censors. I remember it was like a huge deal for like, oh, they're cross-dressing. Oh, no. But this movie was such a huge hit that it actually, it was the motion picture production code that was like looking out for all this stuff like homosexuality and all these taboo subjects. And this movie played a huge part in that kind of that whole thing coming to an end, all that censorship and the kind of taboo subject matter, which is really interesting. And especially for that time, that's super shocking. But I really don't know much else other than that. And is this the movie that ends with the guy saying, he's like, I'm a man. And he goes, well, nobody's perfect.
Yes, yes. That's the final scene in this movie. It's so funny. I mean, that's like actually like, and you'll see too in the setup of that, like leading to that point, that's like kind of a really funny payoff.
I so that's basically it. And you know, I realize I don't think I've ever seen a Marilyn Monroe movie.
What?
I know.
Sorry,
I don't know
you've
how
never seen a Marilyn Monroe movie before?
Never.
Sean.
I know.
You know, I'm really glad that this is the first one you're going to see, cuz she's really really good in this, but it's like you need to see The Prince and the Showgirl. That one's so great. You need to see so many Marilyn Monroe movies.
That's
stop.
You know what? I think really my goal with this podcast, deep, deep down inside, it was really an excuse to finally see some Marilyn Monroe movies.
You haven't seen The 7-Year Itch, that like iconic like, white dress? Oh my God.
No,
okay.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So this is going to be the first one.
Wait, no, you've seen All About Eve, haven't you?
No.
Oh my God, damn it. I'm sorry, can I say that? I'm just
you can
like,
say
I'm
it.
Appalled.
I'm very upset,
Sean. This is a bunch of horse shit.
I feel like your cursing is justified by the fact that it's true. It's something that is absurd. And I.
Monkey Business? Like, oh my God, so many movies. She's been in so many things, and she had so many like small roles too and other things. There's this one great movie called We're Not Married, and like oh my God, okay, I got a whole list I'm sending you that are great.
Please
that
do.
She's great.
This is I'm like kind of terrified.
I'm sorry. I'm very passionate.
Oh, clearly.
No, but like I am surprised for you being such a movie guy, such a cinephile, like that you've never seen a Marilyn Monroe movie. She's
it's all
such
a sham.
An iconic, like she did so much for the Hollywood, like just image. You know, like that's just crazy.
Everything I thought I knew is a lie. I am a lie. This podcast is phony. It means nothing. It means nothing. But you know what? This episode is going to change all of that.
Yeah, you're going to want to go on like a Marilyn Monroe binge, because the thing is she is captivating on screen. Like you don't want to take your eyes off her. She's like just very endearing. She's like just beautiful, and you're gonna love it. It's great. She's funny. She's like, she's wonderful.
I mean, I have no doubt. I've seen like clips of her, like I've seen little clips. I've seen like the iconic stuff and like the white dress and things like that. But I've never. I mean, I realized when we were when you suggested this, I was like, well, this is great because it's a classic. But I've also never seen her in a movie ever. So
yeah,
it's kind
and
of
this is also there's something that I'm not even gonna like get into that I feel like you're also really gonna enjoy, that's kind of unexpected. That's like, well, this is kind of out of nowhere. And it's just not even like, even Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, like they're awesome. Like they're so funny. Like it's such a good movie. I'm so excited. I'm excited for you to watch it. I'm excited for me to rewatch it. I'm excited for anybody who's listening to this who has not watched it and is going to watch it, or who has watched it and is excited as I am about it, because it's great.
Well, when did you first see it?
Probably when I was like 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were it clicked with you immediately?
I love old movies in general, but like this movie was just so funny to me. And I loved Marilyn Monroe. You know, I loved anything she was in. And she's wonderful in this movie. And it's great. It's so great.
I'm excited. I mean, I am genuinely excited. I know it's a classic and I was already looking forward to it. But just hearing you short circuit and like freak out just like raised the excitement levels for me to a whole new level.
Oh, it's great. It's really, really funny. It's got like, it's got so much depth to it as well. It, you know, there are some like very relevant things to this day, you know, that are undertones or things being said, or, you know, it's just like, it's, I like it. It's great. It's fun. It still holds up.
All right. Well, I'm sold. I think let's just do it. Let's get to it. Okay. Let's watch this movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. Carly, this movie is so fantastic.
I'm so glad you like it.
I had so little doubt that I would like it. But you know, it's funny, we talked about it before. We were kind of, I said this is kind of at the top of every list of like, oh, this is the greatest comedy of all time. I think the American Film Institute has it listed as that. It has it listed as like their top 20 films, I think. So this movie had a lot riding on it. And you know what is funny, literally funny about it is I don't know if it's the funniest movie I've ever seen, but it's like definitely one of the best movies I think I've seen. It's
as
weird.
Like a comedy, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's
no, I can see that because the story the whole time is like a lot of fun. And I feel like maybe one of the reasons why people think of it that way is just because of the like taboo nature of a lot of the stuff that they were like, you know, doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of was like pushing the envelope. Like, I don't know if you know this, but this movie was banned. I think it was in Kansas.
I did. I read that. I heard the quote specifically. I didn't know Kansas people referred to themselves in any way, but apparently they call themselves Kansans.
Oh.
They said this movie is not, it's not suitable for Kansans. It's too disturbing for Kansans, I think,
right,
was the quote. So that's the first I've ever heard Kansas residents referring to themselves as.
Yeah. That's a fun fact as well that we all know now.
That it was banned in Kansas,
yeah,
and that Kansans are called Kansans.
Kansans. Okay. Yeah. So, but so I feel like maybe that's a little bit a part of why people rank it so highly is like,
it's super progressive.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. But I also, I mean, it's just a really fun movie too. Like, I mean, it's a gangster movie, you know, like you don't, if you, I feel like started this movie not really knowing a lot about it, just knowing it was like two guys cross-dressing, you'd probably maybe think you started watching the wrong movie.
Well,
you
that's what was funny. The opening scene, I was kind of like, this is so interesting. And it's basically a chase scene, but
yeah,
it's not, there isn't really an undercurrent of comedy. There's kind of a punchline at the end where the coffin, it's revealed like, oh, there's tons of alcohol in there. But
right,
it's, for the most part, like I was actually kind of impressed with some of the stunts they were pulling off. Like the, one of the cars does like a I don't know if it's a 180, I guess. It like spins around and then another car gets hit pretty badly.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is like just a great action sequence. And
yeah,
it's at the
it
beginning of a comedy and there's nothing particularly funny about it.
No, I mean, but there was one line in that whole scene when the gangsters were all sitting at the table and like the one guy like grabs that other guy's cup to see what's in it. And the gangster's like, it's buttermilk. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what, I had such a hard time. He was so funny. I had such a hard time understanding him half the time, but I did understand that line.
Yeah, but, yeah. But that part just, I don't know why that like tickles me, but like.
That guy is so good. And I loved, well, it was, it's funny because he goes into the funeral parlor and it's like a speakeasy. And that's where we're introduced to the two main characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, the main bad guy, the main baddie, the mob leader,
Spats. No, like the shoe thing, Spats.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah,
he gets coffee spilled on his shoe, and
right,
he kind of like snaps his finger or whatever, and they take the guy who spills the coffee out, who's so like out of his mind. And this is the first time I genuinely laughed. Was he goes, "Hey, I want another cup of coffee," which was so funny. But then what was even funnier is that guy returns later on and he keeps complaining about his coffee as the police come in and raid the place. And he's just like, I want my coffee.
And this is,
I was like, this is brilliant. And, but it is, it's an unlikely opening to the movie. And the movie is so well structured. I think so much of why people, why it's so acclaimed is beyond the fact that it is genuinely funny. It's such a good movie. Like, it's a really good story. They do a great job of setting everything up. They set up all the characters. They set up Joe and Jerry and their whole thing of they're kind of down and out and, oh, we got to pay our debts off and what are we going to do?
Yeah. And they're like going out on all kinds of dates and, you know, using ladies for their things.
Exactly. And you get a real good feel for them and their chemistry. And they're both the actors are so wonderful in the movie.
They're so good.
I know. Do you have a preference as to which one you like more?
You know, they're both so different. Like, obviously, I love Jack Lemmon, you know, the Daphne. Like, hi, I'm Daphne.
Yeah. Like, he gets to play kind of the broader comedy beats.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I also like, you know, clearly, like, Josephine.
Yes.
Just... Okay, so I don't know, like, if you know anything or, like, read anything about this.
I don't know anything at all. Okay, not just about this movie, but I know nothing in general.
Okay, so this was, like, fun for me because as much as I love this movie and I've seen it, like, I didn't really, you know, research anything into the background. So, like, I got to do a lot of that for this because... but I didn't realize that it was in black and white because... The makeups on Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, like, they kind of look green on color. Huh. So they just didn't look right in color, but in black and white, it was more convincing. And Marilyn Monroe's movies, like, contractually were supposed to be in color at the time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so she wanted to do color, and then they were like, no.
When they did the tests, it was like, oh, no, you can't.
Well, I guess that makes sense because now that I think about it, I mean, this is 1959, I believe. So color films were happening, obviously. But I didn't realize that they had the opportunity to shoot in color, but they didn't. But that makes perfect sense because I can't. Part of the joke, and it's almost like an in-joke with the audience. Like, the film never, there's never a moment where anyone acknowledges the fact that Joe and Jerry do not look like women at all.
Everyone
buys into it, and it's part of the joke. But I feel like, now that you mentioned that, if this movie wasn't in black and white, there's no way it would have played as well.
But aside from that, I feel like part of the reason why nobody like is like, oh, these are clearly men, is because of the time. It's like so inconceivable, you know, that it would be like that, or that would be a man. You know, that's just kind of like out of maybe like people's realms of possibility. So if you see somebody in a dress, like, that's a very handsome woman. You know?
Yes, like, exactly. So that is part of it too, I think. And I think also maybe part of why they said it in 1929, because they kind of they go a little, I guess the gangster plot line is a little bit reflective of that, and it's prohibition. So that, I guess they were trying to use those subject matters. But for the most part, there isn't really anything that dates it technically to 1929, except for the fact, I guess, that it makes it even more believable, like you said, that it's like, no one would do that. That's not allowed. It's such a taboo thing.
And then one of the other things that I learned about this movie is that Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis, when they were being fitted for costumes, originally they were just going to give them, like, off the rack, you know, whatever dresses that just kind of fit. But they were both very adamant about having the dresses done by Ori Kelly, who was doing Marilyn Monroe's costumes and dresses.
Oh. That's so fantastic.
Yeah, they thought part of what would be, like, convincing for them to be able to pass as women is having good clothes that, like, fit their bodies. So that's, I feel like, a part of also it helped their aesthetic, you know, at times.
And it worked so well. And I do love, I read a couple other things about how, I think they had some sort of trainer in to help them learn how to walk like women. Like, it's like, oh, yes, you got to look like, and Jack Lemmon eventually was like, oh, no, I'm not doing, this is stupid because I don't want to look like I'm, I don't want to look like a woman. I want to look like a man pretending to be a woman. Exactly. So what's the point of doing this?
And I love that, like, that arc of his where, like, he is so against all of it. Just, like, he doesn't, you know, like, he's against it, but then he ends up falling in love with Osgood.
Right. He kind of gets caught up in the whole thing.
He gets swept off of his feet. Like, he's like, this isn't so bad, you know?
Right. So that whole thing is so funny, the way they turn it on its head. But it's also so sweet too, because I know we talked at the pre-show about I already knew the ending. The ending of this movie is so famous that it's hard not to know the ending. But I wasn't expecting that to feel so like sweet. It was like a sweet little romance.
Yeah.
And again,
but also terrifying now.
Very terrifying.
Jack Lemmon.
Yes, and because the guy basically like corners him in an elevator and is like, I love you, we're getting married. And it's done with such sweetness that it's not like horrifying, but it's like, this guy's basically forcing himself on him. And then at the end, when he's like, you can't marry me, I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect, and Jack Lemmon's trapped forever.
Right. What I also like is there are a lot of moments, you know, where they are being subjected to like men being creepy to them.
Yes.
And they're like noticing, like, is this what it's like to be a lady? Because I'm not even that attractive. Like,
right. So, exactly. There's like an interesting subtle commentary in there about it, which is, again, very ahead of its time. And it doesn't really go, it's not very preachy. It's not very pronounced. It's not like, oh, we learned a lesson about how to be better people.
Well. No, because they're still awful people.
Yes.
Like,
and I love,
nobody really learns anything.
Well, I love, they both, not so much Jerry, but Joe behaves pretty despicably in order to get, what's
Sugar.
Her name? Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sugar Cane. Oh,
right,
gosh.
Sugar Cane.
And when we meet her, it's the womp, 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 womp. Right. You know that?
The cliched, like, oh, and here comes the hot lady coming
the
in the
train,
room.
Like, as she's walking by. And,
yeah, and they're yeah. staring at her booty. Like,
exactly.
It's so good. But I love, I do love his last line. To her, or not his last line to her, but when she performs and he says, he's like, don't worry about it, no guy's worth that. And it's like, oh, that's such a sweet moment. And I wasn't expecting it. I didn't realize that she ends up like running away with him, which, of course, why wouldn't she? It's the movie
right.
has to end that
way.
Yeah,
it has to end that way. But at the same time, it's like, she always falls for the asshole. Like,
right.
That's him.
And that's the joke. He's basically like, no, you don't want to love me, I'm horrible, and da da da. And she's like, that's why I love you, because you're trying to get me not to love you. And so it's like that relationship's twisted and messed up. And then Jerry's relationship is twisted and messed up too.
Of course.
So everyone's in everything works out, but in kind of a weird, twisted sort of way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The movie is so structurally. One of the things, because I didn't realize it was 2 hours long, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a long movie, but it doesn't feel long at all. And I was wondering, because the movie, it's basically like a one-note premise, kind of. It's like two guys dress in drag to escape the mob, and they end up falling in love, and what
right.
kooky shenanigans.
But it's funny, because you, for a while, forget that, like, it's a... That's going on.
You forget why they had to be in disguise anyway.
Yeah, which is fun. Like, it's funny, and then when you're reintroduced to that, you're like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they bring it back together really brilliantly. But I was kind of like, I wonder how, because I was with the movie and I was along with it. I was like, oh, this is fun. This is funny. And as soon as they dressed up as women, it was like, oh, this is hysterical. But then I was kind of like, I wonder how they're gonna keep this feeling fresh. And that was one of the most impressive things about the movie, is they keep finding ways to introduce new obstacles for the characters, whether it's the what's the guy's, is it Oswald? Is it
Osgood?
Osgood. So Osgood, yeah. Whether it's introducing Osgood, whether it's introducing Joe decides to pretend to be the son of the founder of Shell,
which
was one of my favorite visual gags, is when he pulls out the perfectly shaped shell.
Oh, I know.
Yes, this is what I do. So that was brilliant. He pretends to be somebody else, and then they have to play that out. But they found so many fantastic ways to keep it feeling fresh.
And I thought it was so funny that he chose a ridiculous accent like that.
And Jerry keeps calling him out. He's like, what is this accent you're doing? Because it's like British, but not.
Yeah. It's just like, it's like Rich trying to be British American, I guess. What's Katharine Hepburn, like her accent.
Well, apparently he was specifically making fun of Cary Grant. And when Cary Grant saw the movie, Cary Grant said, like, totally deadpan. He's like, I don't sound like that. Like, as a total joke.
Really funny.
Yeah, I loved that the movie kind of kept me on my toes because, again, I'm laughing, and it's totally funny. And it's definitely one of the best comedies I've seen. But it's not, like, uproariously funny. Like, it's not, like... The jokes are, for the most part, it got good chuckles out of me. It got some real good laughs out of me. But for the most part, I'm just, like, enjoying the story.
And it's also funny because they're, like, friends, and they're there to support each other. But the whole time, Jack Lemmon is totally trying to get Tony Curtis caught.
I know. Well, that's, again, another interesting dynamic they bring in is that they both obviously love Sugar because she's Marilyn Monroe, and who wouldn't be in love with her? But, like, then at first they kind of present the idea that Jerry wants to be with her, and Joe's kind of like, oh, yeah, she's a babe, but whatever. And then it switches to Joe kind of getting the upper hand, and Jerry has to play second fiddle, and he has to go seduce Osgood so that they can sneak on the yacht. But there, that
just
rivalry.
Lets him, like, he just, like, Tony Curtis just keeps taking the gifts to give to Sugar and Jack Lemmon. Just like, fine.
I thought that was so brilliant. And there are so many, I mean, there are so many amazing set pieces in this movie. And, like, one of the first, I thought, brilliant things was when Sugar sneaks in to Jerry's bed, and he's like, this is great. And then they get a drink, and then the girls happen to see, like, oh, he has a drink. And then, like, the next thing you know, all the girls are in bed with Jerry to the point where he has to pull the emergency brake because they're, like, he's afraid they're going to find out he's a dude.
Yeah, because he's getting too excited because there are all these ladies in their underwear and, like, nightgowns.
Well, there's that. And then there was, I thought one of the most brilliant sequences was Joe sneaks onto the yacht with Sugar under his guise as the son of the founder of Shell, and in the meantime Jerry has to keep track of Osgood and keep him happy, and Wilder, the director, he does such a brilliant thing with, he kind of whip pans back and forth between the two scenes. So it'll kind of be like, oh, I don't know, Sugar. I'm not feeling anything. I don't know if I'll ever be able to love again. And she's like, well, here, let's keep trying.
Yeah.
And she keeps kissing him.
He's,
and then
manipulative.
It's amazing. And then it whip pans to Jerry, who is dancing with Osgood. And, like, I laughed so hard, just their dance when they switched the rows from each other's mouths. That was so funny. But Joe is so... It's kind of funny because Jerry is having this really sweet love story, which is especially for that time, so taboo, but you're almost rooting for it in a way. Whereas kind of the normal love interest, like kind of the normal romance, is way more twisted. Joe's basically manipulating this woman, and she's like, oh, I guess I gotta try harder to make you love me. And
but also at the same time, it's creepy. Like, Osgood doesn't know this is a man.
They just keep
dancing. That's pretty twisted.
It is.
But so one of the other things that I, like, read about this is in the scene where Jack Lemmon's like announcing that he and Osgood are engaged, and he's doing like the maracas and like, you know, like whatever. So in a preview of that, the audience was laughing so hard that they had to reshoot it and add pauses, and
oh my God,
the maracas got added as like a pause so people could laugh because they weren't hearing a lot of the conversation.
I'm so glad.
180, like he was like, oh gross, and then he's like, we're getting married.
I'm so glad they added the maracas to that
I think
scene.
We'll go to Niagara Falls.
It's so good. I really, really loved the way they, you know, again, the movie is structured. It like introduces the conflict at the beginning. They dress up in drag. The whole second act of the movie is them kind of getting into their crazy, like goofy scenarios. Like, uh-oh, we better not get found out, and trying to seduce Sugar. And then the third act brings back the mobster story. And,
right.
And it's just so like, it flows so wonderfully. Like it's so organic. It's one of those movies, I think, for any like aspiring screenwriter or someone who's struggling with like, oh, how do I like get a story to just really go well, I would really point them to this movie. It's another example, I think, of why people refer to it so fondly, and it's so highly acclaimed because of the fact that as a piece of cinema, it's well made. But story-wise, it is so, it's so good. Like it's 2 hours, but it doesn't feel
not like two hours.
It's because they've got a good story and they've got really endearing characters, and the scenarios they present are so fantastic and engaging.
And it's I've seen this movie multiple times. Like you can watch it, you know, and again and find more things that maybe you didn't quite pick up on because now you know stuff, or you know, like it's a fun movie, not just the once.
Yes. And yeah. There's so much stuff, like there are things I feel like I'll pick up on when I watch it again. It feels very layered, but one of the things, like the you know, the callback at the beginning was so funny about the guy just like, I want my coffee, but they keep calling back at the beginning. They talk about he has type O blood.
Yeah.
And they keep bringing the type O gag back over and over again. In every situation, they're like, whenever there's a conversation about blood, it's like, oh yeah, mine's type O. And they keep bringing the type O gag back. But there are so many like little moments like that are so brilliant. And I just feel like it's a movie, like you said, I could probably watch this over and over again and discover new things all the time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And okay, so like, you haven't seen a Marilyn Monroe movie before. This was your first one.
Right.
But obviously this was later in her career, and I didn't realize how bad she was.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
And, I mean, she's still great on screen, but, like, revisiting that movie and then, like, watching, like, some of her earlier stuff, you know, like, you could tell a little bit, you know, but she's still like, she was great, she was awesome, but the fact that it took her like 40 takes to get certain lines, like, yeah, it's me, Sugar.
Yeah, and the legend is that line, 47 takes to get it.
And then when she was like asking for where the bourbon was and looking through the drawers, apparently they wrote on the inside of the drawer the line, like, where's the bourbon? And she couldn't remember which drawer it was in, so they ended up putting it in all of the drawers.
I feel so bad for her. I feel bad for Billy Wilder too, because I can't remember exactly what he said, but I read that he was kind of like, I'm too old to ever work with Marilyn Monroe again.
Well, it's sad, you know, because she was very talented and she was very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And, you know, she really got taken advantage of, and she was a cash cow for the studio. So it's like, you know, they weren't doing her any favors, and it's sad. But yeah, like she just, there are times she's on the phone and you can tell that she's reading cue cards because her eyes are moving You know, like how when you read a page.
Yeah. Well, even then, like, so this is, it's amazing how, you know, I know Marilyn Monroe, obviously. I know who she is, but I've never seen a movie. But it's amazing how so many of her quirks and her personality and little things that I've seen other actresses do in movies and mm-hmm. I didn't realize were basically homages to her. Like, yeah. I don't even know if that's the right way. Is homage like the pretentious way to say homage? I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
I think homage is right. Like,
let's go with homage. Yeah.
It sounds nice. I think people do say homage, but
it sounds so sophisticated, and I'm a pretty sophisticated person. I'm not going to lie. You've known me for a while. I think that's the first thing that comes to mind.
The sophisticated Sean.
Sophisticated Sean, exactly. You know? But she's so magnetic. Like, it was not like the moment,
like, you can't take your eyes off of her, just her mannerisms. There are literally just some people that you see and you just look at, like, you just,
right,
you know, and she's just one of those people.
Well, she's so perfect. And but beyond, like, she's gorgeous, of course, it's so sad to go and read behind the scenes and learn mm-hmm. this about her. Like, she was so high and she was mm-hmm. popping pills and she was just like really kind of losing it. And her story is so sad. But you watch the movie and she's so like full of life and she's so sweet and innocent and fun.
And it's vulnerable.
There's such a sweetness to her. And she's very
endearing. Like, everything she does.
Yeah. I thought this movie was going to be... She's totally glamorous in the movie, but I thought it was going to be played up as like, oh, she's so unattainable. But she's very like down to earth. Like, she has that very sincere kind of genuine, almost modesty to her, which I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah, no, but it's all, but I mean, not in her outfits.
No, not at all. But even that's absolutely not. But
I think that's how she was so able to pull off a lot of, you know, the look and that, like, kind of just super bombshell, you know, iconic, like, all that, because she wasn't, like, overly sexy in the way that she was, you know, like, her mannerisms weren't, like, putting it all out there the way that maybe a dress was.
Right. And
so it wasn't trashy. It was, like, classy. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
It's clashy? Maybe not. But no, I know I get exactly what you're saying. And what's fun, you know, what's kind of like gross and kind of unfortunately is still a mindset that exists, but I was looking back at old reviews and one of the reviews, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was a really kind of condescending remark about her and her appearance in the movie, because she, I think, was pregnant during the movie.
Yes.
Like, she,
yeah,
she was a little bigger. And one of the reviews was very like, oh, you know, she's looked better. Yeah. Here it is. It says, the quote is, it's on Rotten Tomatoes. This is Time Magazine. It says, Lemon digs out most of the laughs in the script. As for Marilyn, she's been trimmer, slimmer, and sexier in early pictures.
Well,
and it's like,
apparently they used stand-ins sometimes for like the stills for like promotional stuff,
right?
And they like just superimposed her head because her body, I mean, she was pregnant at the time, so that's kind of shitty to say.
Yeah, it is. And this is like, I mean, I think this review is from like 1959, so they're just like, that's what it was all about. But it's good. I mean, I would love, I need you to guide me through the world of Marilyn Monroe, because she's so, this is obviously considered one of her best roles and best movies.
I will talk to you about any Marilyn Monroe movie ever that you want to.
We will make
her first ones where she's got like super tiny roles in, but she's adorable still and hilarious, you know?
I'll watch
her main ones, Some Like It Hot, The Seven
I would
Year
love.
Itch.
I mean, she's wonderful Bust in this up. Movie, and even when Joe is a skeezball,
yeah,
the innocence of their flirtation and the way she's so desperate to...
She is like hurling herself at this man.
I know. I've never...
But it's
I've
also
never...
a little bit sad because she, like, you know, thinks that she has found her ticket out, you know, of the life that she has of being an idiot. She thinks she has found a nice man who will be able to provide for her and she'll have a good life.
Right.
And that is not at all.
Yeah. And it was kind of sad because it kind of, I'm not going to lie, it kind of, you root for the characters because they're so good and you just love the performances so much. But it was kind of like, do I want him to win her at the end? He redeems himself with that moment when he says no guy is worth it. And it's kind of like he's realized and that he's what he's done. But it was almost like this is almost too far in the direction of this guy's really manipulating her.
Well, he is, but I feel like a little bit it's almost like she knows now and she's like, I'm still going to stay with you.
Right.
And
that's how it's played off.
The guy that he is was like, well, I thought she'd be mad and leave and then I'd be on to the next because
right.
that's like his whole thing. So... I mean, maybe that's a little bit of it, too.
No, that's how it's played off. And he's very, like, resistant. He's like, no, I'm a horrible guy. Don't mm-hmm. do it. I love the whole seduction scene where they're on the yacht together is so good. There's one line where he talks about playing water polo. And she's like, well, isn't that dangerous? And he's like, I'll say I had two ponies drowned under me, which I was like, what?
I know, and she doesn't say anything.
No, she just goes along with it. Like, oh yeah, of course. That's what's dangerous about water polo.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Are there any was there anything else you noticed about it watching this time that you hadn't picked up before, or is it like at this point you've seen it so many times that you're like, I'm good?
No, I feel like I feel like the more like I have seen a movie, I'll pay more attention to like the background and see what's going on, you know, like and see. But there are a couple times like I noticed like just some set things or, you know, like I also read this and I like thought it was weird. But OK, so because this was shot like in San Diego or somewhere in California, but for the beach scene, you can see mountains in the background, and they're supposed really? To be in Florida.
So. Mountains in Florida, right? I mean, nobody in this audience can afford to go to Florida. They don't care.
Yeah, but
it's probably banned in Florida. The Floridians and the Kansans teamed up to ban the movie.
Yeah, they banned
it. So they don't care. The only ones who can confirm the accuracy of the beaches didn't even see it. So
but
it's all right.
It's such a funny movie. There's so many funny moments. There's so many good lines. I do think the fact that all of those mobsters just happen to be at the same hotel having their like mobster convention.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
You know, that was like a little like, how are you going to get them down there? They're like, oh, we've got it. They have a convention every year. And
it's at this like, they happen to have it at this hotel.
They come here every year. Like people get a lot of points. This is a great for groups kind of hotel. So right. like, it makes sense that the band's there. It makes sense. Like, it just, it's, I don't know. It's a little, that was a little bit too coincidental, but I guess how else would you
get? I agree. That was the one thing. I knew it was going to have to come back. And I guess I was like, maybe there is no really natural way to do it. Maybe they just had to invent something ridiculous in order to kind of wrap that plot line up and have it come full circle.
Yeah.
But I did get that vibe too. I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. But whatever.
I love how much they both get hit on by various guys.
Oh, I know.
Throughout the movie. Like that just, it was so funny because they're really like, they're not hideous as women. They're not like the most convincing of women, but you know, it was just like because of their makeup and their clothes and everything. I was like, okay, maybe I guess, you know, right. Like, and just the way Tony Curtis would like purse his lips and like the face, the lady face he would make, you know.
Oh,
like,
my God. I love his laugh. It's like, like,
yeah,
it's this weird like cackle that's all feminine in the slightest. It's super creepy.
It was just so funny. I loved how often they were getting hit on and how much it bothered them and how, yes, it, like, I mean, really, they didn't learn anything, but they like recognize it.
Right.
Like, we're going to point it out.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a lot of like, it is kind of amazing they got away with what they got away with, because it's not like, it's all done very tastefully and it's all done very innocently, to the point where it's like, oh, well, this isn't something that would ruffle too many feathers unless you're a Kansan, but it's
and it
also
all of your feathers.
Right. But it is, it did feel, you kind of mentioned, you're like, it feels very contemporary, and it does. It feels very like, it's funny, like, you know, these days people get so offended by stuff so easily, like, without even like thinking about it, people's first instinct is to be offended. Do you think a movie like Some Like It Hot could be made today?
You know, I feel like that's kind of tough, especially because of everything that's going on with, you know, just, I guess, the trans community, and
right,
it might be like now like offensive in a way that it wasn't before to some people, by like, you know, like, it's just everyone gets offended about everything, like, you can't,
yeah, it's hard not to, like, you'll turn around and someone gets offended by you accidentally looked at them, but
right,
and, you know,
I feel like the only way that you might be able to do it is like if it was two women pretending to be men.
Right. I was thinking, because I was like, I wonder, it feels like a movie tailor-made, like, in this day and age for someone to be like, ah, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, the important thing is it's never condescending about it. Like, the joke is that these are two straight men, very, like, masculine men who have to dress as women to get, to basically survive.
Right.
But it's not done in a way that's like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I mean, it's kind of like, that's the joke, is that they're men and they're like, this is so uncomfortable and what are we doing? And this isn't right. But it's not like they at any point, it doesn't feel like it's mocking any particular group or sect or belief system or anything like that.
There are times where I feel like, you know, like, as them being women and discovering maybe the daily struggles that like a woman faces, or the uncomfortability of the clothes or whatever like that, like, sometimes possibly like people could take it as like them saying women are somehow like lesser, or, you know, like, I feel like somebody's going to be mad about it somewhere for some reason, somehow.
We'll find a way.
Yeah.
They can't be, but they can't stay mad at it because everyone's so lovable. That's all I ask. You can't hate them because they're such wonderful people.
Right.
Even as they're being really terrible and seducing Marilyn Monroe.
I also would hate for this movie to be remade.
Yes, it shouldn't be. I mean, you know what's funny though? This movie,
it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work, but I feel like this gimmick has been done so many times. The man dressing up as the woman to go, like Mrs. Doubtfire or White Chicks.
Joanna Man.
Like, this plot line has been used so many times. It's funny because the movie feels so fresh and it's so good and it feels original, but at the same time it is one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, this movie, this concept worked so well that people just grasped it, and like any opportunity to throw a guy in drag, like Tootsie, like there's Tootsie as well, which I hear is amazing,
and that's supposed to be the number two funniest movie,
right? So yeah, isn't that interesting? The two funniest movies of all time apparently are men dressing up in drag.
Hey, it's funny. It's funny.
It's funny. It's never.
But see,
never,
you know what?
Funny.
That's offensive now.
Yeah, exactly. So it is interesting. But it is, it feels, despite the fact that it's been so overused, the movie still holds up. Yes. And it feels fresh. Mm-hmm. Are there any moments or scenes that stand out to you, or any like your favorite lines from the movie that stand out to you as like personal favorites?
I mean, definitely like that buttermilk one would always make me laugh. Okay. Marilyn Monroe says, "I don't care how rich he is, as long as he has a yacht, his own private railroad car, and his own toothpaste."
That's a good one. I love. There's so many. The visual gags were so funny. One of my favorites was the guys being searched, mm-hmm. and they find his gun, and he goes, "It ain't loaded." They like find it in his leg. He goes, "It ain't loaded," and then they check his other leg, and all these bullets fall out of his pants leg. Yeah. I thought that was great. But I loved the water polo line. That was hysterical.
Yeah, that one was really funny.
I think the ending punchline, I've heard it before, but it still made me laugh. The nobody's perfect. There's so many great things about this movie. If I could pick one sequence, though, I think it would be Joe as Junior, while Jerry is Daphne, trying to keep Osgood distracted. Like that, the sequence where it just cuts back and forth between the two of them, I thought was so brilliant.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I thought that was really funny. I liked the turn, like I said, you know, with Daphne and how he all of a sudden now is really embracing this whole thing with Osgood.
Yeah, his womanhood.
Yeah, and then like, yeah, and he was like excited about like being a lady for a while, and like he was like, Osgood was a good man, and he, like, just
right,
you know, so, and it was,
he'll
like,
take care
got,
of me, and...
right, and then he was like excited about the bracelet that he got, and just like that to me was really, really fun, and I feel like maybe that's why I don't know. I feel like him becoming more accepting of it, and I don't know. It almost like seemed redeemable for him what he was doing. It's just like he was having a nice time now, and
now he genuinely liked the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to know him, and he's a really good dude.
He is. They're all good dudes, and the movie is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if I have much more to say about it. Is there anything else you think we should add that we haven't said already?
I mean, just, I think it's great. I'm glad that you got to see this, and I'm glad that you finally have seen a Marilyn Monroe movie.
I know.
You know,
me
I
too.
Was very sad to hear that you hadn't.
You and me
now
both.
I feel like opened your eyes to a whole other, like, just world.
This is how I feel too, and I'm not only am I happy to have seen it, but I'm so happy that it was such like one of her best movies, and like even if she was losing her mind, she's so good in it. But I was just so impressed by her and by the movie as a whole, because I wasn't expecting it to be so, I was expecting it to be zany and funny, but I wasn't expecting it to be just so well structured and so well made, and I was very engaged for 2 hours. It didn't feel like 2 hours. I was really into it, and that was what was most impressive to me. Is it's like, what, maybe it's not the funniest movie ever made, but like, sure, it is one of the best comedies I've ever seen, for
it's
sure
great. It's not like too heavy, you know, there's some nice subtle messages in there that aren't too preachy, and it definitely was ahead of its time, and it holds up, you know, like you watching it for the first time in 2019, and you know, like you still were entertained and you could understand and relate, you know, like it
definitely
still holds up.
Definitely. So I guess we'll just give final ratings. So on a scale of 1 to 5, we'll say typos. How many, with 5 being the highest and 1 being the lowest, would you give Some Like It Hot?
Definitely a 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I probably would too. I might, part of me wants to bump it down just because of the ending, like we were saying, how ridiculous it is that the mob people come back. But I don't know. It's such a this movie feels like such a classic. I'll just give it a 5.
It is such a classic, and I feel like that whole thing is so forgivable.
It is in the grand scheme of things.
Everything else, you know, yeah. In the grand scheme of it, if that's the one worst thing is the coincidence of the mafia people being down there. It's like every movie is garbage. Then,
it doesn't take away from how joyous the experience of watching this movie is. Yeah. So, that's right. It's like a petty thing. Who cares?
But, right. That's great. You're being very petty, and I don't appreciate that.
Typically, I am very petty, but this movie changed me. I think I've learned a lot.
You're
today.
More sophisticated.
I'm more in touch with my femininity.
You're more
and
cultured.
Is that? I feel like I said that wrong too. I'm not good with words. It's probably not a good idea for me to have a podcast. So I apologize to all the people listening, and I apologize to you, Carly. But also, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to watch this movie, for introducing it to me.
Absolutely, and I will send you like a list. I feel like in order of the ones you should watch.
Okay, awesome. Yes, I need to see more of her movies.
Yes.
That would be great. And Carly, I mean, now we've come to the end. This is where we do all our wonderful social media plugs. Is there anywhere on the interwebs that you are where people can find you, should they so desire?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Carly Does Makeup, and it's Carley Does Makeup.
And Carly is working on some amazing film and TV show projects. And if you've listened to our Westworld episode, you know that she and her team, is it Fractured?
Yes, Fractured Effects.
Exactly. So they do amazing practical effects for different shows and movies. And Carly will sometimes post awesome videos and photos from those things. So definitely check that out. And
I'm just going to plug it because whatever. But so
it.
Right now we're working on Swamp Thing, which comes out over the summer.
Right. For DC's streaming service.
Yes.
So definitely check that out.
I think there's
I feel like there's a Swamp Thing movie, an original. We should watch that.
Can we please? I love that movie.
That would be so good.
I have so much to say about it. Oh my gosh. We should totally do that around the time that show starts airing.
We'll do that. And then we can talk all about, this would be perfect. Perfect.
Yes.
You heard it here first, folks. And if you want to find me, I'm at @YayShondorman on Twitter. Reach out to me there. And you can also check out The Nerd Party. That's the network that Missing Frames is a part of. Tons of amazing shows on there. All sorts of stuff from TV to film, nerdy subjects. It's all nerdy. It's The Nerd Party. So it's fantastic. So check that out. You can follow The Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party and like the Facebook page, The Nerd Party. And if you like what you're listening to, give us a 5-star rating. That helps. That makes us so famous you don't even know. And Carly, you know, while nobody's perfect, I think the two of us are pretty close.
Pretty, you know, as close as one could hope to be. Humbly saying that we are perfect.